I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here live to talk about tonight's episode of Big Brother Canada 9. We saw some spicy moves happen here tonight. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Mel. How you doing, Mel?
I'm doing so good. I hope we don't make too many corny jokes on the recap tonight, but I had a lot of fun watching this episode, and I'm really excited to talk about the shocking ending that we were expecting.
Very, everyone was shocked, Puya. Puya also here joining us tonight. How you doing, Puya?
I'm doing well. As far as everything that's going on in the house, I do have a clue. But let me rhyme this and say Rohan's speech was doo-doo. Stop. Y'all need to stop with the rapping and the rhyming in these vetoes. You need to stop it, Ro. From one brown man to another, I beg, please retire this. I beg you, stop it, please.
Puya, okay. Just try
to send the Ro show out the dojo.
But Ro said no.
That block, it ain't for Ro show. Try to evict me? Oh, hell no.
You can't evict him, Puya. You can't get him out the dodo. He is too much.
I want to give a shout out to my parents for creating this absolute champion.
A champion!
You were getting a lot of mileage out of that clip.
He needs to put the mic down. He just needs to. He needs to. I've always been anti doing this, and he's really, really capitalizing on words that end with O to make his rhymes happen. If he stays in the house all the way to the final four, what is he going to rhyme with? He's going to run out of words. There's nothing left.
So many options. That's the best part.
Like, at what point is he going to talk about Poe, the red Teletubby? Because that's coming up. Like, there's surely that's part of the list at this point.
Well, you know, his final two speech is going to say, look, the thing is, the Ro show needs your Vovo.
Oh, there we go. See, Poe has so many endless options. It's never going to stop.
Doesn't have to stop. His boat is being rowed, and he's an absolute champion.
Listen, we could be hearing that week one rap over and over again. Be happy we have something else. It's changing every week, at least.
I'll withhold further judgment until the next one. You'll hear from me again if I don't like what's coming, but we'll see.
All right. Well, let's get into this episode because this was a good episode. I'm pleased with this episode. They're still trying to make Brayden out to be something that he wasn't being, but that's okay. It wasn't nearly as egregious as it was before. Because he's actually doing work at the tail end of this week to ensure that things continue to run smoothly. But other than that, we got some good stuff here. We had an interesting veto competition that I thought was, again, I liked how mostly fair it seemed in terms of people being able to have a shot in it. And we have the move of the season thus far, which is the backdoor shot at Victoria. Oh boy, Puya.
It happened, right? Beth made it happen. Happy for Beth. But no, this was honestly, it's been a very fun week. And this is where the week, in my opinion, truly begins, is at the tail end of this episode. Ultimately, I thought the episode was a good one as well. And it's just been fireworks. It's been fire. The season has been continuing to deliver. I want to say at the top, I know that there's some worries for the non-Ontario residents of the BB Can fandom. As some of you may have heard, Ontario is going into a stay-at-home order for the next, for the month starting tomorrow. And there was a lot of people worried about, hey, is the season done? No, season's fine. Production of TV and movies and stuff is continuing in Ontario. They're capping it at 50 people, which is still, I believe they're not breaking any of that with BB Can. It's going on. Don't worry. This great season is not ending right here, right now. Because could you imagine if come Thursday, they're like, yep, well, it's not going to finish. Victoria never leaves and she crowns herself the winner. And then Twitter's messy for like 3 months. I don't need that. Show goes on. We're good. Everyone be happy about that part.
Yes. They had a lot of time prior to the season starting to make sure that they were set up for all contingencies, I would imagine. So I would be very surprised if anything happened to the show this season. I think that something extremely out of the ordinary would have to occur before the season shut down here. And good thing, because we've got an exciting double eviction to look forward to tonight or tomorrow night, where we are going to see what happens here with this Vic back door, and then we'll head straight into a double. I mean, what a great way to lead into a double eviction, Vic on the block. So I really enjoyed how this episode really set up that like big move. Where do we go from here, Mel?
Yeah, I mean, when she actually wanted to make the move, I was really frustrated by how many Beth conversations of like, oh, I'm so scared to do this. I don't want to do this. Should I do this? And I know they're trying to represent like what's being accurate, but like at the end, she finally is like, oh, you know, I'm kind of feeling myself. And it's like, yeah, give us a little bit more of that energy. She's just, I was just like, it takes so much away from the big move if the whole time you're like, oh, I don't really want to do this. Oh man, I did it. I can't believe it. It's like, just, yes, you made a big move. It was really exciting, and kind of just roll with that.
Yeah, it reminded me a little of Franzel, actually, of the sort of the, and I said this on my stream just earlier, but it gives me the energy of like a little boy who is like throwing a rock through a window, and like being high, like oh, am I gonna die? Should I do it? I don't know, guys. Should I do it? Should I? Oh, I did it. I'm such a badass. Oh my god.
It's yeah, pretty like, much.
Except in this case, it's like the boy didn't even throw the rock. It got forced out of his hand. He like dropped it into the window. Because she wasn't even gonna do the move until Ro won it. But I will say, I really liked her speech. I thought it was good. You know, a lot, if you're going to lie and manipulate, you'd better take the first shot. Things are about to get spicy. Victoria, take a seat. I love people that are willing to make good TV for us, Booya.
Me too. Or as Braden will put it, television.
Television.
Because it was great. It was great. No, I just ragged on somebody for doing something they think is good television with the rhyming. But no, this was good. I thought this was, you know, clever. I like the spicy V, but then spicy seat like that. That works for me. I don't think she thought of that, but it works for me. I'll take it. But no, this was a great way to put it up. I do agree that it literally took the veto being used for her to end up being in this position, but I don't blame her. It is not an easy decision to make to put someone as unhinged as Victoria on the block, because you know, the minute that happens, you've wound up that toy and you got to let the toy now run around the house, and you don't know what it's going to what it's going to do, who it's going to hit, what's going to happen, what's going to be said, what kind of verbal meetings are going to be here. What kind of, like, this Victoria is a ball of energy with no prediction. And while it's fun for us to see it happen, it must not be easy to be the one to do it, but I'm glad she did it.
And I also wanted to add, I love that Victoria at the end was like, yeah, I appreciate this. Like, I am a big threat. She put me up. She had a kick-ass speech. Like, that's great. And I love when players can appreciate that. It's a game. She's saying this within the game. It was good TV. Vic appreciates good TV. And it was just, it's a nice moment to remember that, like, we can have people at each other's throats in the house and it not be super personal. at least in this instance.
Yes. Well, let's rewind for a second. Let's go back to the start of this episode. We start the episode with Victoria talking about how, guys, this is how you play all sides of the house. This is how it's done. I don't even care. I don't even care who goes home this week. She's gonna care. She's gonna care by the end of the week, Puya.
Oops. Yep. And that's the thing. It bodes well for Beth and for us, the audience, that Victoria is so high on her own supply. Like, because of how much she approves of her own gameplay, we get moments like this. We get little tidbits of her really feeling herself to the point of, I'm gonna wear everyone's blood to the finale. I don't care. I'm in the final four. I'm gonna talk about all these scenarios. But it's better like that because it does set her up for the big fall later. Now, obviously, I know that you've had conversations on the live feed updates, Taryn, with regards to that illusion, that break, like the glass shattering wasn't so much there. She was kind of prepped into knowing she might be touching that block. But this was great foreshadowing by the editors to kind of set up what's going to happen at the end. So if you didn't know she was going to be on the block coming into this episode, this was a great start for that.
Yeah, and I'm sure there was plenty of this kind of content, and I think that is why. So what we're alluding to here, for those that may not have kept up with the feeds, Victoria basically got a heads up from production in the diary room that she was going to go up as the backdoor target, and I think, having watched this episode, that the heads up that she got was what prompted her answer later in the episode when she said, I feel good about the alliances that I've created. I feel good about my relationships. I don't think that I would need to worry this week.
As soon as I saw those confessionals, I was like, yep, that was it. That's where she got that from.
Like, so basically the presumption I would have here is that they were trying to get more of these quotes from her about how comfortable she felt, about how amazing it was. They asked her about, like, how do you feel about Beth? How do you feel about the ghost peppers? How confident are you that you're going to not touch the block this week? And they were hoping that she'd be like, I feel amazing. I'm never going to touch the block ever. And then they'd get to air those confessionals and it'd be great. But the reality is that she's like, why do you keep asking me this? I wonder if I might be in trouble this week. And so that kind of spoiled the surprise a bit. That's what prompted her to go to Ty and Beth and start laying on the guilt trip in the early campaign. But of course, Vic is still going to give us a good old what? I'm going on the block face when it actually happens. So at least we got that for you.
She knows what she's there for. And that's what I adore about Victoria. Like, regardless, I know she's a polarizing character on the show. I know she's had highs and lows in the house. And she knows. I think she did a fine job of covering up that she already knew she was going up, which I did appreciate. And little moments like this prove that to us. And I like that she's no dummy. She kind of figured out, based on the cues they sent to her in, the bananas did, or the production did, by asking questions. I like that she figured it out and she pieced it together. So, like, kudos. Again, kudos. And thank you for giving us as much as you've given us.
Yeah. So we get this weird scene. I'm still not entirely sure what the purpose was, but we had this weird stuff from Kiefer tonight. First was this scene between him, Tina, and Tara, where I'll tell you guys on the feeds, the relationship, the pre-90s relationship, Kiefer, Tina, Tara, has dissolved a little bit, not completely. They're still working together, but Tina and Tara do not trust Kiefer as much as they once did. But that's kind of like a small, like, side story on the feeds that's fairly recent. And we don't usually get updates on those. Like, I don't even know if pre-90s is even in the show yet. So, like, it's like, I don't think they were trying to update us on the state of the pre-90s alliance. So I'm not entirely sure what this was doing for us in the show. But they just kind of like argue a little bit about like whose interests people have. And Kiefer's like, I don't have anybody's interest but my own. It's Big Brother. And it's like, where's this going exactly, Mel?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I think they might have mentioned pre-90s as like a throwaway thing last week. But yeah, like you said, they're definitely not updating us on this. And I was confused because then right after we had Kiefer saying, oh, I'm Sunsetters all the way. And I had also thought that he was more pre-90s than Sunsetters. And I don't really know where Kiefer's true loyalties lie at the moment. Maybe he doesn't even know.
Yeah. Well, we're also going to get to hear from Brayden and Ro and how they are working together after, you know, both of their partners essentially have gone. And they will be sticking together for the game. It's good to set this up because they are working together. And now we just need to connect them to Tina and Tara, because for some reason that hasn't really happened in the show when all four of them are working together. But this is a good duo. The Stockwatch survey says that the RHAP audience has shot up their fandom for the for both Brayden and Ro. So this is kind of the darling duo of the show here, Puya.
I ship it. I mean, this is two underdogs who both lost their ride or die early and now have come together. And I think I would argue that it's the two counterparts from their initial duos that are the stronger ones as far as being players go. I think that, you know, we've talked about Ro and how he can be very like transactional, logical. And we've talked about Bray and how well he is socially. And Ro has proven to be very good at these competitions. You put them together, this is a dangerous duo, but they're still, to me, the underdogs, because they still have to, they've lost a lot more than some of these other people in the house. So I also ship them. I don't know if they've come up with a name or what the appropriate name for them is as a duo. I don't think we have one yet, but I'm very invested in these two, because I do think if they can manage to survive this double, and then the week after, the crucial thing is the week after, especially for Ro, the week after, I think they could have something under them to make a move here. I really do.
Yeah, I think we're definitely looking at either Brohan or Brodin.
I like Brohan.
Brohan, yes, definitely a good one. Mm. I feel like they're a duo that I could imagine if you two were in the house and Taryn's the transactional man and Puya's the social guy, and you guys could just like be underdogs and take it by storm and be fan favorites. And yeah, I could see it.
Oh no, I'd be a mess in there. I'd be all over the place. I was trying to come up with somebody in this house, but I couldn't go that far.
Not Victoria. You said you'd be messy and all over the place.
Oh, I'd absolutely be the Victoria. Let's go. It's if you think about it, it's really all Puya's fault that I'm even not even in there in the first place, right? So, and then really, Mel, it's your fault that we've even gone down this path. And I mean, I'm definitely the greatest player of all time.
See,
the problem is, oh, sorry, we can't call you Spicy Taryn, though, with the plain yogurt.
But spicy Taryn.
Plain Taryn doesn't have a ring to it, so we'll need a better name. Go ahead,
please. Here's the thing, Taryn, you said that as a joke and like as a you're pretending that in the future we've done this. But when you said that, for some reason, I felt deja vu. I was like, why do I feel like this has already happened to me? So this, I definitely can picture you saying exactly those things.
I've probably done it to you in an Among Us game.
Yeah, me just watching you in post, you're like, yeah, man, Puya messed that up for us. Like, it's OK.
All right. So, we've got Beth and the guys are going to have conflicting interests here. Beth wants Vic to go up and out, but the guys, they disagree. They've got other interests. They kind of want Ro to go, and they feel like Ro is coming after them. Vic is not coming after them. So what are we doing here? And you've got Brayden in there trying to sort of like push in a certain direction for Vic to go. But then Kiefer comes in and all of a sudden it's 3-2. And so it's just a done deal here, Mel.
One of the quotes I really loved from this discussion was Brayden says, Victoria has won 3 HOHs in 5 weeks. And Jed said, so Ro's been close. It's like, that's a really impressive stat. Like, that was a really good point. But yeah, it's so exciting to see a majority alliance have some conversation other than, so this person's gone. Yep. Okay. done, like the entirety of BB 22. So it was good. They both had good points. We had, this reminded me a little bit of the Pretty Boys when Chelsea won, I think, and they were all kind of in there. All the Pretty Boys were in there getting in her ear, and they eventually got to her. But here, Beth is like, no, this is in my best interest, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to try and find a way to make it work for us, but I'm not just going to like do what you want, even though it's not best for me. And we don't see that all too often.
Mm. Well, it's this sort of like this conflict. Yeah, this conflicting storyline. It brings us through to the veto, which is good. And it shows that that we have players who are playing in their own self-interest. Ultimately, we're going to see Beth back down, and I am glad that they showed that. But this was really the main conflict of the week leading into the veto. So definitely happy that we got it here, Puya.
Big time. Yeah, I think that this has been one of the reasons the season's been fun. Obviously, the main factor has been no one's an A-plus player. So there's messiness, there's mistakes that get made. The other is that the majority of lines is hella wishy-washy. They're still like that, especially now in moments like this where I would argue that Beth hasn't really spoken up on what she wants and like hasn't really been the one to take the reins in. Whereas this week in particular is like, oh yeah, you know what? I usually say, I don't care what we eat. I want to order today. I want us to go to the restaurant I want. And they're like, but wait, no, I want it now. So I did love all of this. And I love the setup to where we know it's going to end up going. But it's been very cool to see Beth kind of begin thinking for herself. And that's what makes the triangle very, very interesting for me. Because usually I'm very, you know, I don't care about the showmantic couplings, the showmantic alliance. I'm really not here for that. I love everything that's going on with these people here. It's been very fun.
Yeah. So Vic is going to tell Beth nothing can get in our way. It's ghost peppers all the way. She says to herself that this they can't be as good at this game as she is. They're her ticket to the Final Four unless they backstab her, but they can't because they're not good enough like she is. And this is, again, all the content they want. They really, you know, they've been trying to keep Vic on a pedestal in the episodes. They kind of had to go a little negative last week. And now that they've gone negative, they're going, oh, well, this works. We'll go negative and we'll go full here in this week. And then we're gonna take a little break from all the negativity. We're gonna sort of be struck by Cupid's arrow because guys, Jed thinks he loves Beth.
I don't have a comment.
Like, bruh, it's been 4-5 weeks, perhaps. You know, I have a stronger and longer relationship with, arguably, with some stuff in the spice cabinet over there. Like, 5 weeks, you can't be dropping the L word. You really cannot be. But hey, I'm also not here to yuck anyone's yum. If he's having the feelings, he's having the feelings. But you know, this is the thing. You know that if this one conversation like this happens, they're going to put it in the episode. I don't care how they're going to shove it in there. Tomorrow night, we have all of the fallout from the veto. We have the double. We have the eviction. I bet you they will find a way to pepper one of these in again because they think it's the main thing. It's a lot. You know what? No, let's talk to the expert here. Taryn, tell us, what are your thoughts about this? What are your thoughts about this showman? Tell me.
It's cute. I like it. It's romantic. He loves her. Yeah. What's wrong with it?
Okay, I mean, nothing wrong with it. Just, you know.
You can drop the L word if you are Rachel Riley and Brendan. Like, Beth didn't even choose him until how long ago? A week and a half ago?
He put the work in.
He put the work in and he won the prize. Very romantic. I'm putting quotes around that because it is weird. Yeah. Not a prize to be won. She's a human. I know what he's trying to say, but it's a little
weird. Respected that she wanted to hang out with Ty. He was just like, sure. But I'm here too. She eventually wandered over. Now she's there.
Yeah.
Hey.
You do you?
Hey. No judgment here.
No judgment at all.
No. I mean, I'm not judging that she was with someone else. I'm judging that you're dropping the L word after Puya said 5 weeks they've been together, which is true. But she really chose him. Unless Ty also loves her, then they can have a real throuple thing. That's okay.
Yes. did she say it back?
No.
No.
Oof.
She probably dropped the "I love spending time with you" line.
Ooh, that's similar. Worse.
Yeah.
Rather get silent treatment than that. Oh, that's so bad.
Just needs to put more work in. It'll be fine.
Mm. It'll be fine. He'll be fine. Jed will be fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, Canada has voted, and Bro is off slop. As everyone, oh, yay for Ro. We're so happy. Everyone's happy. Oh, look at Kiefer's so happy for Ro. Kiefer is so glad that Ro is off slop. Yeah, is Kiefer, what a great sport Kiefer is.
Oh, yeah. What a supporting legend. Just, you know, two bros being supportive of one another. Yeah, there's definitely no envy in any part of Kiefer's body with regards to Ro. There's definitely no ill will, bad blood, beef, Keef, none of that with Kiefer at all.
It's one of my favorite storylines of the season is the beautiful blossoming friendship between Kiefer and Ro, coming from two very different places and really being able to meet up in the Big Brother house and finding something that's just so meaningful.
Stop
and
this
genuine.
Right now.
Mel, why are you being so negative on all these touching relationships? It's really bringing me down here.
You say that Big Brother Canada misrepresents the feeds, and that's terrible. And you guys are misrepresenting how much they love each other, which is zero.
I'm sorry. I'm underselling it. They really love each other. Mm-hmm. I get it. Yeah. Kiefer hated this. Kiefer was so mad that Ro got the food.
Kiefer hate Ro so much. I don't get it. Ro's adorable.
It all has to come back to that one pantry showdown with Kyle and Ro stepping up to Kiefer and Kiefer like really, really feeling uncomfortable, wanting to leave the scene, not being allowed to leave the scene. Everyone else has moved on from that interaction and like they've let bygones be bygones, but Kiefer's not forgetting. Kiefer's like Arya Stark with the damn list, and there's only one person on that list, and that's Ro. And that's it. And it doesn't matter what Ro does. Ro could literally, here's the thing. Ro could literally use the veto on Kiefer four times, never nominate him, and he'll still get this kind of treatment. Straight up.
Yeah. But Ro is not the only one on Kiefer's list anymore. And that's because, hold on. I'm getting some triangle senses are going off. Is somebody else getting close to my triangle? Is Brayden? Wait, since when are we with Brayden too? I was supposed to be the square. What, Brayden's not supposed to be the square? No, I don't approve of this. Brayden is not allowed.
Brayden Lanzawini!
What? No! No, that's not what's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to be in there.
Brayden is not a part of the Sunsetters. I'm a part of the Sunsetters. Last I checked. Oh, Kiefer.
Yeah. He does this.
He doesn't want to be a hexagon?
Yeah, let's know. Brayden's not. I'm in the Sunsetters, not Brayden. I've got to make sure they don't trust Brayden.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah. Kiefer's thing is there can only be alliances if Kiefer's involved. If Kiefer is not there, that can't be a thing, and he's opposed to it completely. But I get it, because I feel like from the beginning Kiefer's had like kind of been the one on the outside, and they're like, yeah, okay, maybe next year we'll let you into the cool kids club. Okay, next year there's new students. They're like, oh, come in. You're part of the cool kids club. All right, Kiefer, maybe apply again next year. Maybe we'll bring you in next year. And he's just always on the waiting list, but never fully integrated. So there's a little bit of that dynamic to it that just doesn't seem like it's ever going to go away, to be honest, ever.
I mean, I said
it before.
A little
too real, Puya.
he's Guillermo. He's Guillermo from what we do in the shadows. I mean, it's just straight up. It's who he is. We're then going to see Beth and Jed kind of argue even more. And it's almost like they're kind of going for like a trouble in paradise kind of thing. where like one moment they were in love and now they're arguing over the game. What a game of Big Brother this is. The reality is that they're like, they may have conflicting interests, but they're very much on the same page. And it's really Ty that's going to be the most opposed to whatever Beth wants. At the end of the day, Jed is willing to do whatever Beth wants and willing to, you know, he may have a different opinion, but it's not going to cause any issues there.
Yeah. This is not a paradise that's going to have trouble. Truly. Like if this is the worst it gets with the two of them, it genuinely, I don't see them really having waves like that. So specifically them two. If the square becomes the triangle again, becomes the one line, they're always going to be the two together. Ty's the one that's going to be not benefiting from this arrangement. So I definitely do see why they're probably going to end up on the same page down the line, regardless of what they decide.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to pick players for the veto. It's going to be Brayden, Tina, and Ty. And Beth says, you know, at this point, either or in regards to the plan for the week, either Vic or Ro, one of them has to go. But she tells Tina that she wants Tara to feel safe. There's no chance Tara would leave on her HOH. Something was terribly wrong would have to happen in order for Tara to leave. She says this in front of Tina because she knows that it will get back to Tara via Tina that Beth is trying to keep her safe. And this is a great move by Beth. I'm very pleased with the fact that she wants Tara to feel safe on her HOH and feel protected by Beth. I think that this is something that she should continue to do. And I hope that she never stops doing this.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely continuing to do this and not making it known at all that she's maybe conflicted and that Tara should be fighting for her spot.
No, let's find out eventually what happens.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We get to the veto competition. And this veto competition is interesting because it has so many steps to it that they run through the whole thing. And I was just like, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. Well, I don't know why I'm being run through this when it's not going to matter until I see it happen, because it doesn't make any sense to me right now. But basically, they have to take fake food items from one grill and get them across to the other grill via different methods and then put them back in the same spot on the other side of the other grill. And the real crux of this is that they've got a giant spatula and they need to hurl the food items with the giant spatula onto the grill. Ultimately Ro and Brayden are the only two who are able to accomplish this goal. Now, I felt like the better way of doing this challenge would have been to allow the players, when the time ends, to then go and put it, whatever they managed to land on their grill, in as much of the correct order as they could, and the amount of things you get right is essentially your score. Wouldn't have mattered since Ro finished first and had them all right. But I feel like that would have been more fun anyway. Once it's down to Roe and Brayden, it's like, well, this thing's getting used regardless. So it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. But Roe is going to win his third straight veto.
I want to give a shout out to my parents for creating this absolute champion.
Such a champion. You know, we thought that was such a funny thing for him to say 2 weeks ago. And now who is laughing now, Puya? You.
Why am I laughing now?
Because you are against his speeches.
That block, it ain't for Roe Show. Try to evict me? Oh, hell no.
Listen, he's a champion of hurling pineapple like rings onto a kebab stick, but is he a lyricist? No. Is he a vocabulary champion? Definitely not. That being said, this was very clearly a sponsored competition that they wanted to figure out how to make worthwhile and complicate, because it looked easy. Everything looked simple, but then you have to reconstruct it and deconstruct it. Then you got to throw them in these separate ways. Honestly, all the way until the spatula is where I think that it clearly was not a fair fight. I feel like everything until then seemed fine, but, and I mean, I can't hold the spatula to see how heavy it was, how it was, but it was very clear that you needed upper body strength and like wingspan to just hurl them on, because besides Brayden and Roe, and I think Ty had a couple, it looked like a struggle for Tina or Tara for it to even reach the grill.
Well, Tina actually beat Ty in this competition.
Right, well, there you go. That's how bad Ty did.
Yeah.
What, you think the spatula that's taller than Tara, she should be able to just throw it like this? It'd be so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like that looked like a lot, because Liana was watching with me, and Liana was on her lacrosse team. So like, do you think lacrosse would give you advantage here? She was like, no. She's like, this is 100%. You got to hurl your weight behind it and catapult the thing over to the grill, and then it's got to like not bounce. But Roe was incredible here. Roe was literally the only person who seemed to have gotten a smooth sailing of the whole thing. So it was ultimately a great draw for him for the veto. It was a great veto comp for him. And he wins the Weber grill comp. So that's good.
Yeah,
yeah, hopefully he doesn't also win the game and then win an additional $10,000 in grills and grilling accessories. Because what do you do? Just buy like 18 more barbecues to surround your new barbecue?
Yeah, no, hopefully he does win the game so he has way too many grills and accessories, and then he, I don't know, makes a fun YouTube video about what do you do when you have too many grills around you. It could be a whole channel. It could be, I'm the guy with too many grills. Oh man. It's great content. I'm excited for it now.
I'll tweet at him so he sees that when he's outside the house.
Look, I'm full of ideas. All the
good
time.
Ones too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I have to ask before I forget, do you guys call it a grill or a barbecue?
I call it a grill.
I've called it both. I don't discriminate.
I could call it a barbecue, but I don't think I would call it a barbecue. I'd say like the barbecue is the event. Like, yes. I'm having a barbecue.
More often the barbecue is the event where the grill exists at.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I was talking with friends during the stream, and me in Canada and my Canadian friends said, we always call it a barbecue. You're going to a barbecue and then you're going to put food on the barbecue, barbecue the food and then eat it. And I don't think I've ever used the word grill. So I wonder if that's a regional thing. Cause Earl at the end of the thing said, he's like, oh, I'm excited to use my barbecue or something like that. So,
well, like, it's weird because you can barbecue on a grill and you can grill on a barbecue. So it works both ways, either way. So it's like, there's no wrong here, truly.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So now that Roe has won the veto, Beth is freaking out. Oh my God. It's one thing to talk about backdooring Vic, but I didn't want to actually do it. I was honestly kind of hoping that it would just stay the same. She doesn't know what to do. And Brayden's there. He's like, you got to hide it. You can't tell Vic that it's happening. And so Vic strides in and is like, hey girl. Very crazy outcome, right? It's
so awkward.
Tina's going to go up now. Okay. At this point, Vic has not been tipped off by the diary room. So she's hunky dory right now. She's not gonna know it's happening. She sure hopes that she doesn't get backdoored this week. But don't worry, Brayden's not gonna spill. He says, we're here to make some good television. So yeah.
I loved it. I love that. I'm here for people who are here to make good television. I'm here for that as a viewer, big time. If I am a player, would I lean towards good television? Perhaps, because there's a lot that goes into winning, luck included. So if you could just make good television along the way, I will give you that. It's a good give and take. So I'm very happy and very pleased to hear Brayden say this and want this.
Yeah, I'm loving stone cold Brayden in the diary room. It certainly is probably one of the reasons why they are giving him this, going out of their way to give him like extra moves to make. But it's definitely fun, and I'm excited to see where he goes in the game.
They changed the narrator from Tara to Brayden. Tara was being a very prominent narrator for a minute there, and we didn't really know why. Brayden makes more sense.
Well, I mean, we are going to get this weird... So Vic's going to have an awkward conversation with Tara and Tina, and afterward, Tara is going to cry about it. At first, I was like, oh man, here we go, paranoid Tara. And then it was like, nope, sappy music. We're supposed to feel bad? Is that what's happening?
And not a tear was shed in the online community.
I'm not entirely sure. I still feel like Tara is, I think, supposed to be good and rootable in the show, Puya.
Yeah, but given how much content she gets, has gotten, like how many confessionals, DRs they've given Tara, I'm being led to believe we're supposed to be rooting for this mother of, I don't know how many kids she has, but someone who's like missing her family, mother of two, out here, you know, trying to bring the money home for her family, trying to get the grill for her husband. So they really build it up to make it seem that way. But then it's like, that's when you've not gotten the director's cut and you don't know what the director's cut's like. You're like, oh, but the Snyder cut, that's what you really need to understand. If you watch this and you think this is good, ooh, you are wrong. You're big wrong.
Well, Jed and Ty are going to talk in the bath, and they are going to talk about Vic, it needs to happen. Ty feels bad, but you know what? She did LT dirty, and we forget that sometimes, but she's got to pay for it. It's got to happen. She's got to go. You can't let her do it. You can't let her do it to you again. So this is for LT, Mel.
For LT?
Yeah. What? Doing is this for LT.
Is that a person?
LaToya.
Oh, I thought you said like Pharrell. For LT. Yes. Yeah, I was excited to hear that. Still miss her on the feeds. Yeah, and they say that if they did it to her, they can do it to us. Or sorry, if she did it to LT, she can do it to us. And she could. I mean, she probably won't at this point, but they got to take the shot before she takes hers.
Yeah, this is very like the North remembers. But yeah.
Yeah, it's for the watch. They're doing it for the watch. They're not forgetting. It kind of like, not that I don't think they've had the same relation as, you know, with BB6, how, you know, the shrine of Cappy necessarily, but it does kind of give me those vibes of they're really not letting that go. And that was literally about half the time they've been in the house ago. And it's still something that's probably going to drive a decision here, which is wild to think about, but it's a thing that might be happening.
Is it really making a big factor in their decision though? Or is this kind of them just validating the decision they've already made by, oh yeah, she needs to get out. And also remember this thing. Yeah. That's another reason that she has to go. Yeah,
it can be both. I think it's a little bit of both.
I think they had zero intention of avenging LT. LT told them, if I leave this house and I see you guys act in a certain way with Vic, giving her any time of day, I'm going to feel a certain way. As soon as LT left, they were buddy. They did not care.
Home and be like, LT, we avenged you. And she's just going to leave them on red.
Yeah. I mean, good on them. They should make the move that's right for them in the game. But they're not doing anything for LT. That is not the case. Vic is going to give that diary room where she's like, I mean, I think I feel good. And then go and talk to Ty and Jed and let them know that she will never betray the ghost peppers, which leads Jed to be like, this is dark, man.
This is a nice little taste of what I hope we're going to get from Spicy Beak campaigning. Like, she found out that there's maybe an inkling she's going to go on the block, and she goes hard. She goes to the triangle and says, yo, like, keep me. This is such a good move to keep me. Here's why. Like, she's already started her campaign. She doesn't even know if she's going up yet, or maybe she does and doesn't. But no, I'm excited for, like, if we're just going to see more of this after she's on the block, then we're in for some great TV.
Yeah. She's also going to go to Beth. Beth, I've been looking for you everywhere. The diary room just told me you're backdooring me, so I'd really like to get a conversation in with you. She says, girl, we've got this. And she also says, if I'm ever on the block, you'll be sick of me. prophetic, actually. But Beth feels awful. She really, again, she did not want to actually do this. She kind of got talked out of it, but Ro forced the hand, and here we go. We're going to head into the veto ceremony where it's going to happen, Booya.
It's all going to go down, and, you know, get ready. Get ready, because it's going to, again, the week really starts now. It hadn't even begun before. It's really starting now. This is where it all turns up and it becomes a lot more fun.
It does. It does. That's where the episode leads off, but we'll end. But we have some fun. We have some fun stuff to go over for tomorrow. I don't know how much time we're going to have for as much as we have seen since the end of this episode and the start of tomorrow night. But I think no matter what happens, we are in for some very fun stuff here. We're looking at all of the campaigning that went down, then straight into the double eviction, where some big shots will continue to be taken, I think, here. Good stuff. Good stuff. Mel, any final thoughts on the episode before we move into some spoilers?
What's on at 8 tomorrow or 10? Just move them to another day. Give us a 2-hour episode. I would love to see so much campaigning. It's going to be so compressed. But for the episode, no, the costume that Vic had to wear to host the competition was delightful. Giant cob of corn. I loved it. That's about it for me.
I mean, she basically hosted her own funeral in a corn suit.
That's depressing.
Or it's amazing. I mean, it's, you know, one or the other.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you see, it's hard to use funeral in BB context. Is it hosted her own funeral? She's going to stay, or hosted her own funeral and she's going to lay in the ground in a husk of corn?
It's more often the latter than the former.
I mean, we've been hoping for Victoria Giesling to step into action, so we'll see what she can do.
That's right.
Not over.
Any final thoughts on the episode?
No, ultimately it was a very fun episode to set up tomorrow. I'm still astounded that tomorrow's episode is only an hour. I don't even know how we're gonna get anything, but it's gonna be like one quick burst of an episode, and I'm excited for it. But this was a good lead up to it, I think. They leave it at the same place every time, but the place they left it tonight is perfect for where it's going to pick up tomorrow, knowing there's a double in that episode too. And, you know, everyone who has been on my stream knows I am the hot dog outfit as a default on Fall Guys. So I was a big fan of this comp. I felt with my weenies. I felt like I belonged with this comp. So it was a good choice.
Oh, boy.
Brayden lands a weenie.
It's like the balls comments from Survivor, Big Brothers and the weenies. Got to get them in there somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you from the episode. But make sure you tune in tomorrow night where we will be discussing the double eviction. Stick around for the spoilers, because Big Brother Canada doesn't always do a great job of letting you know what's been going on. So stick around. We're going to talk about what has been happening since Vic was put on the block.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
We've gone full Beth today.
I did the Beth dance. That was the Beth dance. I hope you guys appreciated the Beth dance. It's actually just one of many Beth dances. And
they all look very similar, though. They all got the arm action going
on. Well, basically, the key to the Beth dance is make sure you have zero rhythm. Make sure that your arms are flinging in random wild motions. And make sure that you are kind of like doing a little bit of this.
Yeah, you need to get the feet in there. It's hard to do on camera here.
It's great stuff. I hope you guys can appreciate the amount of precision it took to make that effortless or look effortless here on camera. I can do impressions of house guests, but matching the dances takes a lot of hard work. So
speaking of impressions, anyone who doesn't normally check out the live feed updates, check out this morning's update. It's an all-timer. Taryn did a lot of impressions about some of the things we're going to talk about.
Yes. Well, if you would like a recap of the house meeting that went down on the feeds yesterday, then definitely yes, check out today's live feed update. It's the one for Wednesday, April 7th. I went over everything that happened, and there was quite a lot. As of right now, the House meeting that Victoria called and sped the entire House into chaos, in terms of that meeting at least, it has not worked. Victoria is still the plan for the person to be evicted come tomorrow night. It should be, as of right now, unanimous, but she has one final pitch to go. She has told the Sunsetters that she has one last piece of new information, one last pitch to make tonight. So we'll have to wait and see if that changes anything. Sunsetters have been spinning themselves in circles all week long, Beth has gone back and forth. Ty and Jed have gone back and forth. Brayden and Kiefer have been pretty consistent, though, in terms of not wanting to change their minds. Vic needs to go, and that's going to be the end, Puya.
I'm just cheesed right now.
Yeah, if you're a Victoria fan, you should be cheesed. But honestly, and that's the beauty of the Sunsetters, is that they kind of act in a way that you would imagine if you apply to a university, right? If you apply to a university, you got to give them documentation, you got to give them your grades. They formally have to look at every application, right? They might reject you, but they still go put you through the process. You apply with everyone. You got to wait the same amount of time as everyone. They kind of treat any bit of information they get the same way. Even if they're like Vic's leaving. They're still like, well, let us review this for the next day and marinate on it. We'll let you know. And they just keep doing that to themselves. And this is why it's so hard to take anything anyone says in this house to value, because there's no like firmness to any decisions here. There's no like, okay, this is done. Like Mel mentioned earlier, how unlike BB22, we don't have that like, well, we know who's going, we know what we're doing, let's move on. That kind of sturdiness does help fortify an alliance. Here, it's just making everything look sloppy, and it's making people get fed up with one another and their decisions, and it's causing a lot of rifts, but it's incredible and I love it.
Yeah. I brought this up very subtly. Nobody could have known that I was trying to queue up something for spoilers later. When Beth is talking to Tina and she says that I'm telling Tina that Tara is completely safe with me and that Tara is not going home. I have no interest in sending Tara home. Something would have to go terribly wrong for Tara to go home. And I'm telling Tina this so it gets back to Tara so she feels safe with me. She has completely forgotten that line of strategic thinking. And she has instead gone on a massive power trip and been like, Tara, Vic is offering me Final Four. What can you do that's better than that? Because at this point in time, your campaign is just not good enough. And I am pretty heavily considering keeping Vic around. So what do you have for me? And it's just like, how did you get from A, from player A to player B? Because player B sucks. What is happening here, Mal?
Okay, I must say, I love mob boss Beth talking down to Tara like that. But yeah, I can relate to what she's thinking. Like, I can see the trajectory that got her here and saying, okay, well, I'm legitimately not sure. And Tara is refusing to offer things in campaign. So let's try and get something out of her. But in doing that, you're spoiling that you're considering getting her out. So it's less valuable any promises that she's going to give you because they're going to be lies. So you're either choosing to get no promises, but she feels good with you, or you're going to get promises, but you've made her feel uncomfortable, so they're not going to be real. I mean, neither are great options. I can see why she's trying to do this, but not good. Not good. Go with the other option. Just let Tara feel like she's safe. Don't get those promises. You don't need them.
Like, it's very much the thing of, oh, there. I know the items in the goodie bag they're going to give us are garbage. I still want the goodie bag. That's really what it is with Beth. I truly don't think she cares if they're authentic offers or not. She just wants to hear the empty words that are pretty much groveling of like, no, I'm keeping you safe. I will do whatever you want. She wants that. She doesn't want anyone to feel, she doesn't want Tara to feel complacent, even though we've literally seen her verbatim say that, and she's switched her decision on that. I think that Beth genuinely wants the mob boss vibes really bad, which in my opinion aren't good for her, like longevity, good for her in the future. So
yeah, and the thing is that Beth genuinely wants Tara to go after Ro next week. She has changed her mind. She doesn't want Ro to stay in the game to take shots at the guys. She wants Ro to go. And she genuinely believes that Tara is going after Ro. Ro, the one who is very solidly keeping her this week, and not go after Beth, Ty, or Jed, the people that are making her grovel to even have a chance to stay. And when Tara wins that double eviction HOH and nominates Beth, Ty, and Jed, if there's these replacements necessary, they're going to be like, what?
The audacity.
What's after everything that you had to promise? They're going to be so surprised because they're so convinced that they would never do it. But why wouldn't they do it given the options you have presented them? You have told them that you don't care about their lives in this game whatsoever. And they should not care about yours. It's utterly atrocious gameplay.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think they're running out of options of people who won't put them up anyways. Like, I think Victoria is gonna, well, Victoria's, now I'm talking myself out of it. Like, Victoria would probably be the last person to come for them of the people left, but she's also more likely to win and maybe more likely to do it. I don't know. Puya, you go.
Perfect. I mean, the most peak thing in Beth's reign that you need for any indication is this is how much Beth is like, I need to be the one that's operating. She, if, and when there was any conversation of maybe, you know, Tara stays or whatever, she wants there to be a tie so that she casts the single vote. So even if they have majority votes, she wanted it to be a 3-3, make one of her own allies put the vote elsewhere so she can cast the dividing vote. This is someone who's acting like they've got everything controlled, like they have everything in this house at their disposal. This is, you don't have that kind of ammo in this house. You do not have that kind of currency at this table. I don't know how you're out here playing like you're the chip leader when you're literally middle of the pack at best, and you've literally put yourself at the bottom of the pack, because now I can't think of how many people are not going to have Beth on their lips next week. I really do, like, following weeks. I think that she started off really well this week. That's not a lot. That is not, no bueno. Especially when it's two. One of them literally
have her on their lips is what I'm saying.
Oh, I just picked up what you were putting down, Taryn. This is why you're top of the triangle right now in this video.
Oh no, not the triangle.
You know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say it.
No. I just feel it. Yeah.
Beth, she's just.
That would be the bee's knees.
She's the bee's knees. That's she's the bee's knees. Cute. Yeah. So that's what we've got going on. So heading into this double eviction, we are looking right now about, we are looking at a Victoria eviction. But things could still theoretically change again. The Sunsetters, the Triangles, very much been considering all options continuously, endlessly in circles. The question is, could they ever really get Kiefer or Braden at this point in time? The answer looks like no. So it does seem very likely that Vic should be going home heading into this double eviction, which means in the double eviction, we are looking at Tina, Tara, Ro, and Braden all gunning for HOH. Braden would throw it to one of Ro, Tina, or Tara, but would not throw it to Kiefer, Ty, or Jed. And if they won, they would all put up Ty and Jed on the block and send one of them home. At this point in time, I do believe that they would probably all use Beth as the replacement. They were not going to before, but they certainly would probably have no qualms about it now.
Who would they otherwise?
Kiefer. Especially Ro, right? And Braden. But Jed and Ty will go after Ro, as will Kiefer, but the method for how they go after Ro is still up for debate. They may put up two pawns and try to make a backdoor happen. Kiefer has been talking about using Jed as a pawn, which would end pretty poorly, probably, if he tried, if Jed didn't win the veto. So there's a chance that even if Kiefer wins, Jed could go home. What we're really looking at is a scenario where the top three candidates are certainly, I would say Jed is the most likely to go home, followed by Ro, followed by Ty, and those three make up probably 90% of the outcomes in this double eviction. But there's still a chance that probably Tara makes up the most amount of the rest of that percentage. And really, there are a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different outcomes that can come from this double eviction. So it should be pretty exciting, Booyah.
I'm here for it. I'm here for whatever divide goes. I mean, just the fact that Jed's being considered to be put up as a pawn just simply because he also has comp capabilities to help keep the veto away from Ro, that could backfire massively. So I'm here for all of that. I do have two questions real quick, just to sum it up at the end here before we go into tomorrow. Number one, now we're the night before this whole thing going down, how many of them are under the belief that the jury will not start this week with Victoria? How many of them still think that there's a chance Victoria is the last non-juror?
They are hopeful, especially since it's Vic that's heading out here. This was kind of a play by Tina to convince them that this is your last chance to get Vic out before the jury might start. I would say that, when especially in this house, when people hope that something is the case, they tend to think it will be the case. So there is definitely a lot of speculation that it will be a 6-person jury with Canada as the 7th vote. But I don't think any of them are 100% locked in on that idea.
Okay, cool. Good to know. But yeah, either way, I'm very, very keen to see what happens and how everything goes tomorrow night. It's going to be a fun hour. It's going to be a lot of emotions, but it's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
I feel like this double eviction is one where I'm not terrified of any particular person going home, in the sense that we've just sped up a whole bunch of time. I guess unless Jed and Ty are on the block next to each other and we miss out on kind of that power struggle. But Tara leaves, whatever. It doesn't feel like a waste because, I don't know, she's had one foot out the door for a minute already. But I'm so glad we got Victoria on the block right now. If she went out in the double eviction, we didn't get to see any of this campaigning. It'd be so disappointing.
Yeah. I think for balance sake, losing Tara or Jed, keeping Ro and one of the guys in the house still battling it out would be interesting for sure. If we lose Jed and it's still Ro, Tara, Tina, Braden, then they might start, they really will start to have an advantage there. But Kiefer would probably lock back in on the other side, leaving Tara and Tina probably in the best spot continued. And then if we lose Ro, Then we will see the probably Kiefer move toward the Tina Tara Brayden side, but he doesn't really want to work with Brayden. So that would still be messy. I think at that point he would be willing to take a shot at the guys. You know, either way, I think we're looking at a still relatively balanced house heading out from the double eviction, depending on who wins that following HOH as well. So there's a lot to look forward to.
Walking Big Brother Encyclopedia question. Does Rohan, if he wins the veto for a fourth time, is there anyone else who's done that four times in a row?
I think James in season six may have. And I think that the thing too is that like the thing about James in season six is that he won a veto for Sarah at one point. It's underreported how good he was in those vetoes.
Oh, I see. The other way.
That's what we're looking at here. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. I hope you guys are as excited as I am. I'm of course going to be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. There should be some stuff that goes on tonight, so we'll have to wait and see what that is. And then tomorrow during the day, I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, talking about the stock watch. And then later that night, watching the episode live on Twitch, heading into the podcast where we will talk about everything that went down in the double eviction. So plenty to come. On Saturday, I'm going to be talking with Puya about the end of season three of The Circle UK. What a ride it has been. I've got so many thoughts. Make sure you tune into that as well. I also just finished a Survivor rewatch podcast. We talked about Survivor Guatemala as the 27th best Survivor season. It's underrated, in my opinion. And that was a lot of fun. So if you are interested in checking that out, you can find it, of course, on the Robin's podcast feed, or we also streamed it live on YouTube, so you can check it out there. And that's what we got. Puya, where can people find you? What are you up to?
People can find me on all major social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Puyaism for all of those. As far as podcasting goes, me and Rob just finished talking about the finale of 90 Day Fiancé. There is still two tell-all, so two reunion episodes worth of content coming your way for 90 Day Fiancé before season 8 is done and dusted. So I'm excited to talk about that. Masked Singer, I gave up watching it live to be here for this podcast. I have zero regrets. Masked Singer season 5, going strong. Third wildcard getting introduced tonight, and it's been a very fun season so far. Me and Leon will be back talking about that this week as well. You've already mentioned The Circle. It's been bonkers. It's been such a good season. Let me just quickly, team, if you have watched The Circle US and you're excited for season 2 that's coming April 14th, there's enough of a gap in between UK and US where you can watch this season. It's well worth it. It really is well worth it. So I definitely do recommend you check that out. And I can't wait to talk about all of it on Saturday with you, Taryn. And then let's pick up all the pieces Friday morning after whatever happens tomorrow night for the feed update. So then there's that too to talk about. So all in all, happy. I'm very happy. There's not one thing I'm talking about right now that's annoying. So I can't complain about anything except for Rohan's abysmal rhyming. But that's it.
I just checked. James did not win 4 in a row. Technically, he won 2 in a row, then won 1 and gave it to Sarah, then won an additional 2 in a row. So he actually, if you want to be generous here, he actually won 5 in a row that he played in. He wasn't chosen for some of them. Because he won 1 for Sarah, that counts as a loss in the middle of that run. But I would still say, in reality, probably still the most impressive veto run.
Tricky with those numbers.
Yeah. Mel, where can people find you?
You can find me at You Can and You Mel on Twitter. And I'm talking a lot less on podcast than Puya is, but check out either Taryn's Discord or the RHAP Discord. If you're a patron, you can join. It's a lot of fun. We have watch parties on there for the Big Brother Canada episodes if you're having trouble finding them. And you get to talk with people while you watch the episode. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Of course, it's still a great time to become a patron of Rob as a podcast. So make sure you go and check out what is it like to be a patron It's great. That's what it is. So do it. That's what we have for you. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. And see you guys next time. Stay spicy.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.